ILoveTheTruth.com.
Phillips Brooks was a 19th century Episcopal clergyman who is best remembered for writing the lyrics to the hymn we know as O Little Town of Bethlehem. But he should be remembered also for his words about prayer. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself, at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's way to pray on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Today we're expecting around a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms and a high this afternoon of around 89 degrees. This evening, the rain chance is only about 20%, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 77. And tomorrow, lots of rain is expected, a 60% chance of thunderstorms. The high tomorrow, 86 degrees.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. Good to be with you guys today on this Wednesday afternoon.
Started off kind of sunny, a little cloudy out there right now, Bradley.
I was going to say, Steve and I were just commenting. You get a little cloud cover, it cools off a little bit out there.
Still a little springy, not quite hitting the summertime. I thought, you know, it was hit that 80 the other day. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Exactly. In fact, I was meeting with somebody this morning. We were talking about cars and the heat of the summer. And I've just noticed in the last day or two that my air conditioner in my car is not working up to par. So I think I may have to go get that fixed real quick.
You might want to start working on that now.
Exactly.
Before it really gets stuck.
Well, how was SWAT today, by the way?
It was good. You know, we're going to be looking at this next week. Obviously, we're looking at Matthew 12 this week, and we look through the Sabbath. And it's interesting, you know, Brad, and just to give a little teaser, are we required to keep the Sabbath or not? Hmm. You know, is that still a requirement for us as believers? Is it something we still should do? If you tune in next week, we're going to be talking about that. So it's really interesting the way Jesus deals with that issue in Matthew 12.
And what does it mean to keep it?
Exactly. What does it mean? But you and I both grew up in southern states during the Blue Law period. Hmm. And I still remember where everything was closed. No movie theaters open, no restaurants open. Nothing was open on a Sunday. You couldn't buy anything. Mm-hmm. And that started, we're going to look at this next week, in Virginia, back in the Virginia colonies. And the reason they passed the Blue Laws was that they wanted everybody to be in a worship service somewhere on a Sunday. That was the founding fathers had that idea. And they, like the Pharisees, though, they built a fence around a good idea to try to make it more protected, I guess. And so that's what we're going to look at, is how Jesus dealt the guys, the Pharisees. So,
well, in fact, on Sunday, Easter Sunday, we were coming home from church. Or, I don't know, we were out about. And just, it was kind of refreshing to look at the Publix parking lot and no cars. You know, they're closed. It reminded me of those old days.
Yeah, they were closed for Easter. Well, you know, there's still some places that close. just a couple of restaurants. Chick-fil-A closes on Sundays. Four Rivers Barbecue closes on Sundays.
Yep.
There's actually quite a few that close on Sundays, and they do that out of respect for that day as a holy day. So we're going to look
when
at
they
that
give
next.
It, they do it for their employees.
Well, they do.
You know.
But they do it out of respect for that, and we're going to be talking about that next week. So tune in next week. We'll talk about that. Hey, real quick, I wanted to talk about, you know, 50 years ago today, Dr. Martin Luther King, was killed. And, you know, something Dr. King said that was really interesting, he said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned with that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to that promised land. And it was less than 24 hours later that he would be dead. Mm. But, you know, he was such a big figure in civil rights of our country at a time where it was very difficult to be associated with that. And he's been castigated by some, celebrated by others. But there's no doubt. I mean, he's one of the youngest people to win a Nobel Peace Prize. He had a significant influence, and he was a son of a preacher. And, you know, he was a preacher. And it's a servant out in the world. And I just think it's, you know, I thank God that he did bring up this whole issue. And I was thinking of Ronnie yesterday sharing with that guy who was a white supremacist and a KKK. The guy who killed Dr. King was a white supremacist. And, you know, I was listening to his daughter speak today. They were interviewing her. I think it was his daughter. And she said, you know, my dad was one of the first ones to take a knee. And she was referencing the Colin Kaepernick taking a knee or the NFL players. But she said he took a knee in prayer. And I would encourage all people in this country to take a knee in prayer and appeal to the God in heaven. She said that. I mean, and I just thought, isn't that great? You know, what a great legacy that's what she remembers and she thinks about when she thinks about her dad. So anyway, Dr. Martin Luther King, so appreciative of what he did to bring about the civil rights stuff. And
50 years.
Yeah, 50 years ago. Man, it seems like it was just yesterday. It really doesn't seem like it was 50 years ago, man. I mean, that you know what? That means I was 7 and you were what? You
5.
Were 5, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so thankful for him and, you know, looking forward to just continuing on. I was real excited. I got several comments about Ronnie calling in yesterday about that testimony.
What a powerful testimony that was.
Well, you know, and he had known that guy for 2 years, seen him out there, known him.
Knew of him.
And I thought, you know, what must it be like? I mean, can you imagine seeing somebody who's wearing a tattoo that basically says they hate your skin color? Doesn't matter what skin color it is. But saying that, and every time you go out there, you see them with that, and to have the boldness and to say, you know what, God loves you and he can change you. I mean, that's just the spirit of God. So I was very...
And just how God was working through his mother also, who had been praying.
That a black man would come and share the gospel with him. That's what's so amazing. And you know, Brad, we need to hear stories like that today.
Yep.
In this current culture where we're divisive and we're, you know, there's so much hatred and really lack of trust on both sides. I was happy to hear one of the SWAT guys this morning say he's reaching out to a church, and it's a church. It's a predominantly made up of black members, and the church he goes to is predominantly made up of white members, and they're going to try to get together and do some kind of fellowship together. I mean, what if that just happened all over? If everybody just started doing stuff like that, it'd be great. And, you know, that's a prayer that we would listen. Nobody wants everybody to be the same. We don't all have to be the same, but we have to love each other for who we are and love each other and worship, especially if we're believers, because our blood should be thicker than our skin color.
Amen.
You know, and because our blood should be covered by Christ. And so,
well, in fact, just along those lines, my wife posted this a couple of days ago on Facebook, and nothing spiritual about this, but I thought the comment was interesting. She said, "I don't think the key to getting along is making sure you don't say anything that might offend someone. I think the key to getting along may be realizing that everything that is said that offends you wasn't necessarily meant to offend you."
Yeah.
You know, I think not to say we shouldn't be careful of the words that we say, but how are we reaching out to engage with people that may be different color than us?
Or a different culture. Oh, I mean, they're the same culture. You know, Russians look like us, but mm-hmm. they have a very different culture than
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
You know, European people can look like us, but have a very different culture. And I think sometimes we like staying in our own particular culture.
Well, I thought Steve Russo, who was our guest a few weeks ago, talking about that very topic in relation to the shootings down in Florida. Well, the shootings around the world, or shootings around the country and schools. And, you know, are we willing to reach out to that person who may not look like somebody we'd want to hang out with? And I think that's what you have in our society through social media and all this stuff, is we can be very isolated and be very lonely. And that can create a lot of issues within our culture.
Well, the technology itself has done that. The social media platforms, where it gives an illusion of having all these friends with no real significant relationship at all.
Yeah, no community at all, which, of course, we always talk about within the SWAT community, is to have men who are battle buddies, guys who can walk with you through some difficult things, because the reality is, we're going to walk through some difficult things.
Well, that came up again today, talking about the Paul movie, mm-hmm. how Paul and Luke traveled all these places together. They built experiences together. And I, you know, I really am convinced that one of the reasons that our church is so tepid in America is, as far as spiritual, what I would call influence, mm-hmm. is because we've not built the community, and we don't feel part of a big movement to go do something. And in that movie that came out, you know, Jim Caviezel playing Luke several times said, "This is not the way. This is the way over here." And it was the way of that community. Hmm. And we are so individualistic that we don't even know what the way of the Christian community is, because you've got 50 million different ways of Christian communities, and nobody really knows, well, what's the right way? Mm-hmm. Because we kind of split off and splintered into so many subgroups, and the subgroups are splintered into other subgroups. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of go to church on Sunday, get our 1 hour and done, and go home.
We've lost our purpose.
Yeah.
You know, what are we there for? What is this about?
So looking at today's passage, we're going to go back to Paul before Herod giving his defense in Acts chapter 26. And the final principle we're dealing with today is finishing our race with faith and grace. Hmm. What's going to be said about you at the end of your life? If tomorrow was your last day, or next week your last week, or next month your last month, and you change nothing in your life from this point until then, what would people say about you and your life? Would you be listed? Would people even know you're a believer? Hmm. Would your family members? Listen, you know what the greatest gift you can give your family members is? To let them know you're a person of faith, because that gives them hope for you. No family member should ever have to wonder, I really don't know if they were believers or not.
Wow.
I mean, think about that, Bradley. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. no doubt Paul was a believer. No doubt when he met his end, he was a guy who lived for Jesus. I don't want it ever to be said about me, well, I don't know if Doug was a believer or not.
And it's not based on your church attendance.
Your church, it's not even based on what you say. Mm-hmm. It's based on who you know, and does that person know you? Right. Right. So when we come back, we're going to look at what Paul had to say before Herod again, Acts 26.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully you can join us, www.swatradio.com. You can go to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SWAT Radio Talk.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. And we are in Acts chapter 26. Doug, I'm excited we kind of took a little detour from Matthew to jump into this.
Topic. Well, you know, it's interesting because we covered prayer, care, share. By the way, if you're not praying for an unchurched person, can I encourage you to just pick one person in your sphere of influence that you know may not be following the Lord? And start praying for them every day. Care for them. Or look for opportunities to reach out and show them concern and care. Ask them if you can pray for them specifically anyways. And then share with them the hope that you have, the help that you have in Jesus. And then we looked at being an ambassador, you know. And now we're looking at Paul's life, kind of his defense before Herod, but He is a model of prayer, care, share, a model of being an ambassador. And he, you know, just to real quick, Brad, to give a little background on Paul, I got this chronology of Paul's life. And it's interesting working through it. He was born around 1 AD, and so his early years are 1 to 13. And at the time of 13, he went to Jerusalem to study in the temple, and we know he studied under Gamaliel, all right? And so he was there for approximately 6 years. Now, then he went back to Tarsus as a tent maker and a rabbi from about 20 to 33 years old for 13 years. So that would have been about the time that Jesus was doing most of his stuff in Jerusalem. And then he started persecuting Christians. We know he started with Stephen, but then he had his conversion experience in Acts chapter 9, and then for 3 years he went to Arabia, and he stayed there right after his initial conversion. That's over in Galatians chapter 1, but he was in Arabia for 3 years, and then he came back to Damascus and to Jerusalem for several months. He went back to Tarsus for 6 years. See, when we read the Bible, we kind of compact it all together. Yeah. 6 years is a long time. He went back to Tarsus, and then he joined Barnabas in Antioch over in Acts chapter 11 for about a year, and they went on their first missionary journey about 46 AD, is what they think. And so the first missionary journey, he spent 3 years with Barnabas, and they were going around. Then they had the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, and then they went back on a second one for 3 years in about AD 49. Then they had their third missionary journey from 53 AD to about 58, and they spent 6 years on that one. Then he was arrested in Jerusalem, and he was confined in Caesarea. He went to Rome, spent a year, a couple of years in prison. Remember, that was his house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was released. He went and ministered for 3 years, from about AD 63 to 66. But then he was rearrested by Nero, and that's where we are here.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Acts 26, but at the end of his life, we're going to read from 2 Timothy where he was at. That's where the movie was at. I was thinking about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was when he was in the Mamertine prison at the end of his life. But where he's at now is he's getting ready to go to Rome for the first time, Acts 26. He's before Herod. He's shared his testimony. He shared kind of really the gospel. And then I wanted you to read what he says to Herod in verse 26 through verse 29, kind of after sharing the good news with Herod. He's very bold in sharing this with the king. So read what he says.
Yeah, for the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? Verse 29, and Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains.
Paul was pleading with them. He wanted mm-hmm. them to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's pleading with the people that have basically the ability to give him life or death. And he's wanting them. He's a witness. He's a great witness. Even though this plan wasn't what he originally planned, and it seems like an obstacle, he's turned it to an opportunity. And as he did this, you know, he's having an influence. And I shared with you yesterday about Philippians 4 at the end of the chapter, how that person from Caesar's household was even a believer.
Right, right.
Probably as a result of Paul's testimony and his ministry there. And so, when you think about the significance of what Paul did, just to go forward with the story, Paul ends up being sent to Rome, and he's shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Remember, that's where he gets bit by the snake. Mm-hmm. He's there on the island. He heals, Publius is his mm-hmm. father or his father-in-law, and he has favor with the captain of the ship. He has, or the Roman soldier there. Paul's given favor even though he's a prisoner. It's like Joseph. You know, Joseph just kind of had favor. Then he goes to Rome. And I want you, Brad, to flip to the last part of Acts, the last chapter, and just the last couple of verses. And this is Paul in Rome. And this is Luke writing this. And starting in verse 28. Read what it says. This is Acts 28, verse 28.
So, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Now think about that. Mm. He's in house prison in Rome, and he's teaching the word of God for 2 whole years without hindrance. Mm. The Holy Spirit saw fit to put that in there. But he was in prison. It wasn't a life that he would plan. Remember, it makes me think of, oh man, I'm content with a little, I'm content with nothing.
Yeah.
Paul had learned to be content wherever God planned, because he saw everything in his life is driving to an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That's really been the essence of what we've been covering all week. Our witness for Christ, God takes our unique circumstances. For every business deal that you get that is successful, for every business deal you get that's unsuccessful. The success of your business deal does not depend on your talent. It depends on God's favor.
That's right.
And he brings you into somebody's path and out of somebody's path based upon his wanting to use you as a witness for his glory. And when you think about what he said here, It's, I mean, without hindrance. Think mm-hmm. about two. Could you imagine, Brad, that you shared with as many people over the next 2 years as you came into contact with, you shared the gospel with them?
Well, it says, and welcomed all who came to him. All who we encounter need to hear the gospel.
Yeah, well, you think about it. You think about Billy Graham before he passed away. If we think about him 20 years ago, mm-hmm. 15 years ago. Everybody wanted to. Everybody would love to have had a chance to talk with Billy Graham about spiritual things. Why? Because he had this power. He was a leader. He was a spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. He really was. Mm-hmm. So when you think about Paul, the people in Rome that had a curiosity, they would say, well, maybe I could talk to Paul. And maybe people got him over there to him and he shared with them. There were many people that bought into the gospel. And he's a guy who finished his race well. And he didn't know he was going to be let out. What happened is, I heard from one guy, one source was telling me that after 2 years, if your accusers did not appear with you before the tribune over in Rome, you were released. So after the 2 year mark hit, the Jewish accusers never came from Jerusalem. And so they let him go. So for 3 years, he went back and went out on places to minister. But then he was rearrested by Nero as the leader of the Christian sect at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I think of what he says in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 20. When he's writing this, he writes Philippians, Brad, from that first imprisonment time where he's in house prison over there. And he says, "It as is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." And I just wonder if people listening today, when you think about your life here on earth, do you think it's gain to die? Do you think that death is the ending point for you? Do you wonder? Do you have questions about it? Because if you really have a faith and trust in Jesus Christ, death is only the passage that takes us to be in his presence. Hmm. And to live here, when Paul says to live as Christ, what he's talking about there is this is a life of sacrifice here on earth. Mm-hmm. It's a life of cost. Mm-hmm.
While I have breath, I'm his.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not out of obligation, mm-hmm. but out of love and devotion to mm-hmm. the one who redeemed our lives from the pit. I mean, we don't deserve anything, but he gives us all this stuff. And, you know, the eternal life aspect is something, Brad, that I think for a lot of us, we wrestle back and forth. Is it really true? Do I really mm-hmm. believe it? And I think one of the reasons we're so tepid as a church is because I don't know that we really fully buy into it. We have a hope, but there's a difference between a conviction and a hope.
Do you find that the older you get, the more you want to be there as opposed to here? I mean, I think, Doug, we live in a time, you know, at least in America, where we have access to so many things, whether it's travel. It's, you know, the comforts of this world we can get our claws into this world and have a hard time releasing that. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of death is, you mean I'm going to have to give up the things of this world? I think the older we get, the more mature we get in Christ, the more we focus, our focus needs to change.
Well, I think the mature comes about from two things, really. It comes about, well, actually, three things. It's experiences in life that are lived through the lens of God's word and his spirit operating in our life. When those things happen, it's like, Brad, when you go through a very difficult circumstance, does it not bring perspective to life?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you take those away, you know, Satan's content to let us live the way we want if we're not being a witness. And we can't, you know, when we come back, I want us to look again at some more verses to bring this out. And we're talking about Paul finishing our race with faith and grace.
Hey, join us this afternoon. You want to call in? We'd love to hear from you. 904-401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. If you're outside the North Florida Jacksonville market, 1-844-777-7928. Go to www.swatradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. American pastor Andrew Brunson's third hearing in Turkey earlier today could go either way. Pastor Brunson's been in jail for a year and a half now in Turkey on false terrorism and espionage charges. Open Doors' David Curry says, for now,
pray for him, for his family, of course, and for those like him. I think we pray for strong leaders in these countries, for faithful people to stand strong in the face of the storm so that the church can do what the church is called to do, to be salt and light, to help, to serve, to love in Jesus' name.
Next, Christian refugees were planning on returning home to Afrin, Syria. But Pierre Hosni of Horizons International says
everything had been pretty politically stable there for a long time, and they felt that it was now time when they could go back. Unfortunately, within weeks of that, there were huge bombings. There were Turkish attacks on Afrin.
So the violence has sparked a renewed movement of refugees. Would you pray safety for the refugees and boldness for the church as the situation continues to unfold?
The biggest miracle that we should be praying for is the salvation of more and more and more Muslims around the world.
And recently, Wycliffe Associates became aware of 10 language groups in the Middle East and North Africa that have small bands of Christians without a Bible. Now, these Christians live in fear or in geographic isolation, making it challenging to provide the tools and manpower needed to help translate the scriptures. However, President Bruce Smith sees this as an opportunity.
We can either be bystanders or we can be participants, and we certainly want to encourage and invite everyone to be participants along with us.
Find your place in the story at missionnews.org. And thanks for listening to Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. We're listener-supported by people just like you. So join our social media network, and let's get to the work of the Great Commission together. You'll find the links at missionnews.org. I'm Ruth Kramer.
An injury accident on the Main Street Bridge has the bridge blocked in both directions. You're going to want to avoid that area for a while. Also, an accident in St. Johns County on I-95, the southbound ramp from the International Golf Parkway. That's off to the side now. And they're clearing up another accident in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound just before County Road 210. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight, low 76 Thursday. Showers likely, high 89.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. You know, Doug, we went on that break talking about that. You know, I think we live in a time where we have access to so much, so many comforts of this world. You know, you know, there's new iPhone comes out every, 6 months, it seems like. You know, we got to have the newest of everything comfortable, you know, and the reality is this will end soon. I was just sharing before we came on the air today that a good friend of mine lost his wife over the weekend, the Saturday before Easter. And, this life is short.
It is. Brad, I don't know if you saw the email, but one of our SWAT brothers went away the night of the movie that we went to saw the mm-hmm. You were out of town.
Right. The Paul or
David. Yep. David Butler was a SWAT group member in Mandarin, and he was a great guy, encouraged me, sent emails, talked about how much being part of that group encouraged him, and even his wife shared that. I called her after surgery that weekend and talked to her, but he just passed away with a heart attack in the night. I mean, fairly young, in his 60s, but he was a guy who was pursuing at the end of his life. And, you know, here's the thing that I want to say to everybody listening. You don't have to have won 50 million people to Christ to stand before Christ at the end of your life and feel like, you know, what we're trying to say is don't end your life not pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been pursuing you your entire life, I promise you. It's not like he's sitting up there waiting for you. He has pursued you, and he brings invitations into our life, and we constantly disregard them. And Dave Butler pursued. He started pursuing a few years ago, and I'm, you know, it's just so great when people are pursuing, Brad, and you know when God brings them home, that you rest knowing, wow, that's awesome, because you just, you know what, he sent me an email right at the end of the year, and in that email, he said, Doug, I just want you to know, I've been taking care of my wife. She's been struggling with some health issues, but I'm really committed to being part of the SWAT group and the brotherhood there and helping and continuing to grow in the Lord. I mean, I just read his email and I was encouraged that he's motivated. He says, you know, God just stirs it up in him to be around that. And Brad, we've said this over and over, you will not experience growth spiritually apart from being around other believers and being in God's word. Mm-hmm. You can't grow in isolation. I don't care who you are.
No, it's an absolute fact.
And so God brings all these people into our life, witnesses, to help us to look and see at other people's and people as they walk the race. And I was sharing with the guys today that you know, so often we just pick and choose. Well, you know what? I've got an invitation to go be a part of this outreach, but you know what? I'd rather go do this. Or I've got an invitation to go on this mission trip, but I'd rather go do something else. There's always reasons you can rationalize not taking what I call his invitations. These are all invitations for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so often we pray, well, God, you know what? If I'm supposed to do this, then make it clear to me. Instead of saying, you know what, God, if I'm not supposed to do this, make that clear to me. You see the difference in perspective there? Mm-hmm. That we should tell people, not God, make it clear that I should. God, tell me why I shouldn't take this opportunity to go represent you to these people or to be a part of this. But I was thinking about your daughters, Brad, and thinking about, in fact, why don't you read, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12. After this great litany of witnesses in chapter 11, the great hall of fame of faith, so to speak, then the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talks about, since we have all these people that are testifying and have lived lives worthy of the calling and have been witnesses, this is how it should affect us. Read that for us.
Yeah, so Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Let us throw off these things that hinder. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I think hinders a lot of us, Brad, is we look at people that seem to be following Christ and we go, I can't do what they do, or my life's not like their life. You don't really know what I've done in my life. You don't know how bad I am, or you don't know how, you know, what some of the struggles I've had. And we look at other people instead of looking at Jesus. Imagine if Levi had done that. You know, I'm not like these guys. Yeah. I'm terrible. And I was actually thinking of your kids that swim, especially Sarah, who was a world-class swimmer. Did she, you know, I'm sure that in her training, she was taught not to look at the other racers, but to keep her eyes fixed on the goal, right? On the end of the race.
Mm-hmm. You know, just strictly from me, I don't know if your kids swim, but you know, when they're really young, there's this tendency when they're in races in a meet is to look left or right to see where are they, you know, compared to other people. And you teach them, hey, don't look. You know, focus on the end of that pool. Focus on the goal and go as hard as you can toward that goal. Don't worry about what other people are doing, you know. And I mean, I understand that. We have a tendency to do that, to look left and right. The reality is that just from a swimming perspective, it creates drag. Yeah, you think of a runner or a race car, you know, they try to eliminate anything that creates drag. But when you turn your head in a swimming pool, you know, you turn your head sideways and try to move that through the water, it won't move through the water as well as it could if you turn toward the target.
It's the same thing like running, though. Mm-hmm. If you look to the right or left to look at the mm-hmm. runner beside you, mm-hmm. even if it's just a glance, you're not fixed straight ahead, mm-hmm. and it creates that slows you down. Well, I think it happens in the spiritual life, too. When we look around at other people, for whatever reason, it can become a hindrance. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And how do you do that? You have to be in the Word of God. How are you going to know who Jesus is if you don't spend time in His Word? I am amazed, Brad, at the number of people that struggle with following Jesus, and they want to follow Him, but they don't read the Word. And I don't know how they expect to know how to follow Him without reading the Word of God. I don't know how you can follow Him.
Well, I think this text in Hebrews 12, I mean, I love the picture here. Lay aside every weight. And then he says, and the sin which easily entangles us. You know, in our lives, in our world, in our culture, we can be entangled in so much sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, well, everybody else is doing it. That, you know, this comparison as opposed to looking, you know, vertical. We look horizontal. Mm-hmm. But what's he doing? Well, if he's doing that, then I'm good. Even meanwhile, we are entangled in sin. Lay aside that.
Mm-hmm.
Look to Christ. I couldn't help but think of that hymn, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh.
Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things
of this earth, which are the things that we easily get our grips on, will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Mm.
You know, where are we fixing our eyes? You know, whether it's, you know, in the analogy of a swimmer in a pool, look to the end. Look to the end of the race.
Yeah.
You know,
I was just listening to you. That's one of my favorite hymns.
Me too.
Sometimes when life gets overwhelming, I will just meditate on just that, you know, that little chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I mean, looking into His face, thinking about what He's done. And, you know, we were talking about this today in SWAT about how Christmas, man, we spend almost 2 months celebrating Christmas now. It starts mm-hmm. in like October, the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In Easter, the most significant really event of, you know, for the Christian church. I mean, the fact that Jesus died for us on that cross and was resurrected. It glows by in a week or two, maybe.
People are going, Easter's this weekend?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Christmas saying that?
They don't do that. Yeah. And so I just think, you know, that last verse of that song, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Paul finished his race with faith. He trusted God and with grace. He was showing so much grace to care about the souls of these people that had the ability to send him away to death. And I just think so often, man, I fall so short of that, because I can have grace if I'm good spiritually, if somebody, you know, I see somebody, but when people mistreat me, when people are not nice to me, or people, I feel slighted by people, it's so hard to have grace toward those people because I most of the time get caught up in my flesh instead of letting the Spirit of God lead me and have control of me to be able to do that. And I think that's how you take every thought captive. You spend time in the Word and you pray it and you ask God. I was going through a drive-thru today and a girl said, I'm just going to sing my troubles away. I said, well, you can sing all day long, but your troubles probably won't go away. Why don't you pray them away? You know?
Well, I think we'll take a break in a minute, but I was meeting with a good friend of mine who's a pastor, and we were talking this morning about this idea that, you know, you look at your circumstances, and we know according to Scripture, Romans 8, 28, 29, that all things work together. Okay, so the circumstances we are in, God has ordained them, God has orchestrated those circumstances to bring us to a point to mature us, to make us look more like his son. But there's another side of that, which is for the proclamation of the gospel. Even the circumstances we are in, we are to look at them as God's using this to sharpen me, to make me look like his son. But he's also using that as a way to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah, it's like a spotlight on us.
Right, exactly. Hey, we'll take a quick break. Join us after the break, SWATradio.com.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. You know, I love that song. Boston, right? Isn't that Boston?
Secular group, man, but it's more than a feeling, you know? I mean, I know they're not talking about Jesus there.
No.
But it is more than a feeling with Jesus, too. Mm-hmm. This is not some, and part, excuse me, part of the issue, I think, for us, Brad, is we live in a very superficial culture in a lot of ways. And it becomes, well, I feel like it, or I don't feel it. And, you know, at the end of his life, when Paul, remember I gave Paul's timeline a while ago, Paul goes back to, well, he's released. He's been in prison, and he's released. He's out ministering. And then all of a sudden, Nero burns down Rome and blames the Christians, and he needs a scapegoat, and Paul becomes a scapegoat. So he brings Paul back. And Paul's awaiting his death, and he writes to Timothy to deal with false teachers. At the end of his life, he knows he's about to die, but he wants Timothy to deal with the false teachers and the issues of the church, and he wants Timothy to be strong because Timothy's young. And I love what he says at the end of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, and I want to read it because he knows his death is coming. I think God just kind of showed him.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark," that's John Mark, "and bring him with you, for he's very useful for ministry to me. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Now when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments." You know what the parchment was?
The paper to write on, right?
The parchments. The parchments was the scriptures.
The truth.
Yep. It was his copy of the scriptures. And he wanted that parchment. He wanted that at the end of his life, even though he probably studied it 100 times. Because remember, for Paul, the Old Testament was his Bible. And they went around teaching people how those prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. And it goes on to say at the end of that little section, he goes, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but everybody deserted me." Sometimes you may feel alone in life. I can't think of a more alone feeling than being in a Roman prison where you're the scapegoat for everything that went bad in that city, even though it wasn't your fault. And you know your time's up and nobody's there with you. And he said when he first, you know, defended, there was nobody there. He said, "May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed," like you were just talking about, "and all the Gentiles would hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever." Now, Paul thinks he's going away. He thinks God's going to do it, but he says he's going to rescue him. How do you reconcile those two things? Because Paul did not view death as the end of the journey. Mm-hmm. He viewed death as merely the transition between here and where he was meant to be.
That's the rescue.
It is.
The rescue is out of this world.
It is. And so whether you have a loved one who's struggling with a terminal disease, or maybe you have a loved one who has left, and you know, the hope is that they knew Jesus and that you will see them again, because there's only life in Jesus. He is our hope. He's our help. And Paul was a man who finished his race with faith and grace. And when I read that, I mean, that is a very powerful departure letter. And I love the fact that he says, "Bring the parchments." I told Lori, if I ever get incapacitated and I'm in the hospital, or I'm at home in a coma, whatever, I want you to read the scriptures to me.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I just read the Psalms, read Timothy, read Philippians, read Ephesians. I want those words to be read to me as I'm in that state, whatever I am, before I go to see Jesus, to remind me. It's one of the most comforting things you can do to somebody, is to read them the Word of God.
You know, Doug, there's so much in this final, you know, these final words of Paul to Timothy. I can't help but look at verse 10 where it says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me." Welcome to America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In love with this present world.
I don't want that to be said about me.
Me neither. I mean, we kind of opened up the program talking about, you know, if this were the end of your life, what would people say about you?
Yeah.
Are you in love with this world? Or are you in love with Christ?
Yeah.
I don't think you can have both. I don't think you can do both.
No. I think when he says, you know, it's just that first part. You remember in the movie, Brad, where he's quoting this? I teared up, man, because I was just thinking about this faithful warrior for Christ. And men, I'm just going to say, if you're listening, and ladies, I'm really not trying to be, you know, put you out in any way, but the men in this country need to step up and be leaders. We have a vacuum of spiritual leaders that needs to be filled. And I pray that God would raise up men to be the God has created us to be in their family, in their community, and in this nation, because, you know, regardless of whether we change our nation or not, you know, we are responsible for leading our families and those around us in our sphere of influence. And if you're not walking as a warrior in Christ and you're wounded, please come to a SWAT meeting, get involved in some kind of Bible study. You know, there's a question somebody asked me, were we meeting this week? Because I had hip surgery. Listen, I had a total hip replacement a week ago Friday. I taught this morning at 6:30, and I taught for 12. And I'm teaching tonight, and I'm doing this radio program, not because I'm trying to prove I'm an Iron Man. I'm doing this because I am so concerned. And there are men who want to grow. And there was a guy coming today I wanted to really talk to. I was so glad he came. I've been meaning to call him, and I've been praying for him. We all struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be wounded. Be a warrior. Get off the the stretcher and into the game.
Well, man. I mean, I think this these words of Paul to Timothy, where he says, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. All deserted me." But he says, "May it not be charged against them." And then he says, "But the Lord stood by me and did what? Strengthened me. So that through the through me, the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it." You know, I mean, I'm trying to imagine Paul had to be a little bit kind of down in the fact that where is everybody
at that point? He had to be wondering, yeah,
where
man,
is everybody?
Yeah, I mean, but for some reason, God allowed him to go through it, and he never wavered in his love for God or his trust for God.
Well, we're never going to stand here and say it. Walking this life, this called to walk, is not simply about having a battle buddy next to you, because in this context, Paul didn't have anybody there with him. He looked to Christ, who was his strength. And it says, "So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom."
That's
we could just camp right there for a while.
Yeah. Well, Paul was a great example. If you have not seen that movie, please go see that movie. It is a great, well-done movie. And yes, there may be some things that they didn't get to bring out in there. Again, they're limited because they got 2 hours, and they really were focusing on the relationship between Luke and Paul in the book of Acts. But I thought it was well done, and it's well worth the read and well worth the viewing, and then go back and look in the scriptures to see it and read about what was said and read about what took place. And it was really good. Hey, I want to let people know tomorrow we are very fortunate to have Dr. Rick Rigsby going to be our guest. If you want to laugh, this man has a viral video. In fact, Brad, while we're talking, while we're talking about him, Rick Rigsby was a chaplain for the Texas A&M Aggie football team. He's done. He's spoken all over the country, all kind of venues, and he's like a C.S. Lewis. He's a black C.S. Lewis who's funny is like a Sinbad.
He's probably one of the funniest guys.
Yeah.
If you want to go back, you can go back and listen to our podcast from last year.
Yeah.
We didn't do a lot of talking. We did a lot of laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy is hysterical.
Well, here's the thing. Rick had this inspiring speech. He speaks at a lot of college graduations and different things. And he did this one on called The Wisdom of a Third Grade Dropout. He was talking about his father and how his father guided him. And it has over 3 million views. It was posted like 5 months ago. 3 million views. And Rick says it's blown him out as far as opportunities to go share. But Rick's a it was a California Maritime commencement ceremony. That's what it was. And I feel bad because one of the leaders of the school, they're looking all dignified in their gowns and everything. And the guy is trying to keep from laughing, but he can't help. He just keeps laughing. But Rick's going to be our guest tomorrow, Dr. Rick Rigsby. Met him through Men at the Cross. Great, great guy.
Yeah, we had him here probably 10 years ago. We're doing Men at the Cross.
So I'd love to have you join us tomorrow.
Hey, I want to make a quick announcement. I'll bring it up again tomorrow. April 11th at the UNF Students Union, Co-Passions Big Breakfast Dinner. Hey, if you want information about this, Co-Passions, a unique campus ministry that helps college students make disciples by integrating faith and work. I'd love to share more about that.
Well, we've had them on.
Ray Strickland.
Ray Strickland on, and Ray's a great guy. And this is their big vision.
Exactly.
Breakfast.
If you want more information, send me an email, brad@swatradio.com.
Is it April 11th again?
April 11th at the UNF Student Union. I think it's 7 p.m. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, swatradio.com. Join us.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to